The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
Hi. As we continue this series on rebuking the devil, which, by the way, is the name of a book that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have published on the writings and sayings of Pope Francis, I'm going to focus now on why and how the devil's been able to get away with so much in our society. In the first chapter of this book, the bishops tell us, "We will not admit the existence of the devil if we insist on regarding life by empirical standards alone and without a supernatural understanding. It is precisely the conviction that this malign power is present in our midst that enables us to understand how evil can at times have so much destructive force." Look at the destructive force around us. Teenagers take guns to school and shoot their teachers and classmates. People are taking guns into nightclubs and shooting people up, into malls. You know, there's so much violence. Recently, I was on a telephone call with the bank because I had a question, something in my online banking wasn't working right. And when I was talking to the man who was helping me, somehow or other, the conversation turned to him sharing that he would not set foot in a movie theater anymore because he was afraid that somebody was going to come in with a gun and shoot everybody. As I'm listening to him, I felt the Holy Spirit come over me, giving me words to speak to this man. And so I boldly, not knowing where this guy was in his faith life, in his beliefs about God, whether he was one of these people who hate Christians because we are professing things they don't want to believe, you know, moral values that they don't want to follow. I had no idea, but I knew that the Holy Spirit was giving me some words to speak and impressing upon me to speak them. So I said to this man, "You know, I'm not afraid to go into the movie theater because I believe that Jesus is with me. And if it is my time to die, then I am going to spend eternity with him. And it's a much better place in heaven than here on earth. But I also believe that Jesus is not going to let me die before he is finished with me here on earth. And if he chooses to put me in a time and place where I'm in a situation that there are people who are getting shot up by somebody who's violent, if I'm suddenly finding myself in a violent situation, the Lord very well may want me there to save some of the people, to throw myself in harm's way. And if that's the way I'm to die, I will do that happily because I will be going to a much better place." This man kind of coughed a little bit and was a little bit shaken up by what I said and then thanked me for it. He thanked me for, he was obviously searching for the right words to say because I had said something that he apparently had never heard before. And the ring of truth was in what I'd said. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, was not only communicating to me, but was working on that man who was listening to me. And the spirit of truth in him was shaking him up. And so the only thing that he could find to say, to pull himself together, was, "Thank you for saying that. It's so good to hear some good news. You know, we hear so much bad news all the time. It's so good to hear some good news." And that's why we call Good News Ministries, this ministries that my husband and I founded back in 1995, that's why we call it Good News Ministries, because Jesus does have the good news. And it gives us the reason why not to be scared in today's evil world. And there are many people who are frightened. This man was an example of what is very common. And we, my friends, who are followers of Christ, are in a golden moment of opportunity where we can help people know how to stop being afraid. But let me share with you what Satan's agenda has been to bring our society to this point. This point where violence is common, insane, crazy violence, and where moral relativism has grown to the point where good people believe that evil is good and good is evil. Even followers of Christ, many of us in church, many of us listening to this podcast, to some extent, have been tricked into believing that good is evil and evil is good. That is the primary message of Satan worship, that evil is good and good is evil. Satan worship is more than just a few teenagers getting together to experiment with some rituals. It's more than just some covens who are doing rituals. Satan worship is not only a religion, it is a way of life for possibly as many as 10% of my society, the U.S., North American, including Canada society. It's called generational Satanism. Children are being raised in it. I met someone many years ago when my book on overcoming the powers of the occult was first published. I was doing a speaking engagement, and I met this man there who was doing this speaking engagement with me. He had been raised in generational Satanism. He had been groomed to become a Satanist high priest. His father was the high priest of their coven. If you need evidence that demons are real, think about this. The things that are done to the children and to the adults to keep them controlled, to keep them in the power of the devil, to keep them from, in other words, running away because the abuse is terrible, is to make them so compliant that they will do whatever they are told to do, no matter how bad it is. And the way they are made to be so compliant is through tortures that you and I could never imagine. I am not going to share with you the tortures that this man had gone through, this person who had become my friend, and over the next several months, he shared his story with me. I'm not going to share the abuses he went through because I do not want to put them into your imaginations and gross you out. Suffice it to say, it is worse than you could imagine by yourself. Only demons can dream up. Humankind, the human mind, which is basically made good, made in the image of God, the human mind cannot come up with the tortures that this man went through as a child. Tortures that are commonplace in Satan worship, especially generational Satanism. This man, by the way, eventually escaped his coven and escaped his background and escaped the devil, because when he went off to college, he began to go to a therapist, because when you go through a lot of abuse, you need therapy. And he recognized that he could benefit from some therapy. Well, it just so happened that the therapist was a Christian. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, she was able to bring him to Christ. Once he became a Christian, his whole life changed, and his mission then switched from becoming a Satanist high priest into being a servant of the Lord, rescuing other people from the abuses of the occult. He became a therapist himself. One of the things that he taught me about generational Satanism is that they have been working for decades to infiltrate society to convince everyone that good is evil and evil is good. To make everyone followers of Satan, whether they believe in Satan or not. To make everyone follow Satan to some extent at least, even if they call themselves Christian. Or especially if they call themselves Christian. Because guess what? Satan hates Christians more than anybody. People who are not followers of Christ, but are leading basically a good life, not interested in following Satan, but really want to be good people, they're not of much interest to demons because they can't do anything to conquer demons because they don't believe in demons and they don't have Christ. It takes the authority of Christ working through us, who are the body of Christ on earth today, the authority of Christ to defeat the devil. Demons use temptations to pull us away from Christ. Demons use whatever it will take to pull us into Satan's territory. We need to know what this book called Rebuking the Devil says. And that's why I'm sharing this and making this a series of podcasts. We have the victory. We are called to bring the victory into the world and make this world a better place. We are called to rescue people from Satan's clutches, like that therapist rescued this man who had been raised in Satan worship. You don't know who it is that you are being called to bring to Christ. You don't know who God has in mind for you to reach out to next. You don't know whether that person might already be a follower of Satan, belonging to a coven someplace. Because they hide themselves, they disguise themselves as good people. This man that I spoke of, this friend who had been raised in it, his family went to church every Sunday. They belonged to a Presbyterian church where everybody was just basically living a powerless but good life. They believed in Christ, but they did not have the fullness of the Holy Spirit working the miracles, working the supernatural, working the truth, filling people with the truth, making a difference. They weren't actively evangelizing to rescue people from Satan. Now, it was in going to Sunday school where this man, when he was a boy, first heard about Jesus, and he used that, what he learned one day when he was put upon the satanic altar for a ritual that was going to involve him in a way that would put more demons into him. When he was placed on the altar as a very little boy, he was rightfully scared. He knew he needed to be frightened. And so he called the name Jesus. He said, "Jesus, help me." fully thinking about what the Sunday school teacher had told him. Now, the Sunday school teacher had no idea that she was talking to a Satan worshiper, a child being raised in Satan worship. We never know who God places in our path to speak up about Jesus to. When this little boy said, "Jesus, help me," a bright light came. They were in the basement and it was dark, just lit by candles. And a bright light supernaturally filled the room. And everyone went fleeing. The little boy was left there alone in the room, basking in the light of Jesus, feeling the love of Jesus, feeling the compassion of Jesus. Eventually, the boy started thinking about other things. The light left, the people came back in, and the abuse he was succumbed to after that was unbelievable, unspeakable. Because they wanted to teach him never, ever, ever to say the name of Jesus again. That's how powerful the name of Jesus is. When he grew up and became a young adult and went off to college, he went to Princeton University to become a minister in the Presbyterian Church. Princeton University is a highly respectable college and a highly respectable seminary. But no one there noticed that there was a Satanist in their midst. And he was able to stay hidden as a Satanist, visible as apparently a follower of Christ, going through seminary. The reason why his family and his coven sent him to seminary was to infiltrate the church. To infiltrate the church with Satan. And it's not only the Presbyterian Church where this has happened and is still happening. It's just take a look at what's going on lately in the Catholic Church, where there are bishops and priests, seminary professors who are abusing and leading seminarians and abusing children and leading them into the homosexual lifestyle. That is one of Satan's agendas. That literally is an agenda of Satan worshipers, to infiltrate the church and bring the ways of Satan with them and spread them. Now, I'm not saying that every bishop, every seminary professor, every priest who has abused anybody, a part of a satanic coven. I don't know that. But I can tell you with certainty that they have been influenced by Satan and tricked by Satan into doing what is demonic and to spreading it. But of course, it's not only been in churches where this is happening. It's been in politics. Duh. You know, you look at some of the politicians we've had lately. Some of the politicians who hate the idea of abortion being murder. Hate the idea of abortion rights being taken away. Hate the idea that children within the womb should be protected. Politicians who promote moral relativism in all its forms. Judges in the Supreme Court who have ruled that homosexual marriage is fine and should therefore be legally allowed. Never mind what the church teaches, what scriptures teach, what Jesus has taught about the sacredness of marriage between one woman and one man. God's design for marriage. Never mind what Christians say about that. Never mind what scripture says about that. These politicians hate the scriptures, but they don't want you to know that. They just want you to follow what they are leading or trying to lead our society deeper into. when we go to the polls to vote, we really need to look at the moral values that the politicians are promoting or dispromoting. We need to be sure that we are not voting for people who are following Satan, whether they realize it or not. Some of them are parts of covens. Some of them may just be tricked by what Satan has done in their lives to convince them that good is evil and evil is good. Another place where the Satan worshipers have been deliberately infiltrating is Hollywood and anywhere that the media have a stronghold. The news media. You know, we talk about fake news. That's a word that's become common thanks to Donald Trump calling the news on the carpet for their biases. You know, when I was growing up and I went to college and I took some journalism courses, it was drilled into me that journalism was meant to be unbiased. Regardless of what we personally believed, we needed to fairly present both sides. And that's not part of journalism anymore. Not very often, is it? Why? Because Satan worshipers had been infiltrating, saying that, teaching that, convincing that, little by little, starting with small lies, getting into bigger lies, that evil is good and good is evil. And it is good to promote your bias against what is good. Satan worshipers have been infiltrating corporations. Any place that has an influence on society, Satan worshipers have been deliberately infiltrating them. This is why the world has gotten into being such an evil place, where so many people believe that evil is good and good is evil. This is what Jesus says, hey, we can defeat this. It's not that difficult. But you have to start with yourself, repenting of anything that you believe in, that you've been tricked into believing, that goes against the ways of Christ, that goes against scriptures, that goes against the teachings of the church. The teachings of the church are all based on scripture. And when you read church documents, you will see footnoted the scriptures that they're referred to. The documents of the church make a great Bible study because it is so thoroughly populated by scripture and shows us how to live out the scriptures. But when was the last time you had the idea in your mind to sit down and read a church document? Why did that never occur to you? When was the last time your parish offered a course, an adult faith formation course, on a church document? Why is this uncommon? Who is it that doesn't want us to be learning what the church documents say? Right, Satan. We need to fight against this. Jesus has promised us the victory. But again, I say, it starts with ourselves. It starts with us being filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit of truth convicts us one by one of the truth behind the lies that we've been tricked into believing. That's why I end every one of my podcasts with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. But before I get into that, let me share with you a little bit more from this book called Rebuking the Devil. In Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation on the call to holiness in today's world, and this is from paragraph number 161, Pope Francis tells us that the devil does not need to possess us. He poisons us with the venom of hatred, desolation, envy, and vice. When we let our guard down, he takes advantage of it to destroy our lives, our families, and our communities. And then he quotes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 5, verse 8. The devil is like a roaring lion. He prowls around looking for someone to devour. Make no mistake about it, my friend. The devil is watching you. A demon is watching you to find where your weakness is, where you are weak in faith, to tempt you, to lead you away from the teachings of the church, to reinforce your life away from the teachings of the church. We must not, as Pope Francis says, let our guard down, because the devil will and is and has been taking advantage of us in every way that we've let our guard down. It is time now to put our guard back up. As Ephesians 6 tells us, we are given the armor of God. We must wear this armor. This is our guard. Ephesians 6 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. Make your stand. Not just resist the ways of the devil, but make a stand against the devil's schemes. Where? First in your life, and then in the church, and then in the world. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and aren't we in the day of evil, you will be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Truth, the truth of the Holy Spirit, the truth about what good is and what evil is, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed. Righteousness, holiness, the breastplate, you know, the holiness is what covers our heart and protects our heart. And with your feet fitted for the readiness of the gospel of peace. In other words, ready to go out and change the world with the gospel of peace, conquering evil out there with the gospel of Christ. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Keep your guard up with the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The flaming arrows, what are these? The temptations, the lies, the fear he wants you to have. Whatever it is that is shot by the evil one at you. You can extinguish all of this with the shield of faith, keeping your guard up. In verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take it. Okay, take it to where? But where do you take the sword? You don't wear the sword of the Spirit. You wield the sword of the Spirit. Where? In the world. First, cutting evil out of our own lives, our own hearts, our own thought processes. Then in the church and then in the world. Verse 18 is important. Pray in the Spirit at all times. And now let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, teach me the truth. Help me to know what is good and what is evil, and show me how to defeat evil. Come, Holy Spirit, make me your warrior. Come, Holy Spirit, anoint me to take the sword of truth out into the world and make this world a better place. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.